who's gonna go first? You have to be master of seven remains.
Okay. So, how about we start with Isaac, who was reading first? And so, what have you found?
Thermal dynamics?
No, I took a break from that. Oh. I was getting frustrated with one of the problems. So, I was just reading an article about Tool. If you've ever heard of Tool?
T O O L?
With three O's.
With three O's.
What is it?
It's the open organization of lockpicking.
Oh!
So it's like...
That's fine.
Their whole thing is open source physical security, I guess. But lockpicking features pretty prominently. They have all kinds of conventions and stuff around... I think it's more popular in Europe, but also in the States to some extent.
Cool.
Oh, that is neat.
So... They have, like, talks from experts in the field, and then most of their conventions have, like, a lockpicking competition where, I guess everyone gets together and tries to speed pick as many locks as possible, and apparently the Germans are dominant in those in those competitions. They're forced to be reckoned with. But there's a lot of parallels to, like, software security. In terms of the fact that there's a tension between like lock manufacturers who tend to want to make things proprietary and closed source and the larger open source community, which tends to want to open things up, and a lot of times, like when the open source community finds physical defects in these locks, they publish their findings and make some people in the manufacturing industry pretty irate. And so there's starting to be like responsible disclosure guidelines developed. I think the article said the standard is like 6 months now for like between telling a manufacturer about a defect and publishing your findings. And in the software security community, it's usually more like 90 days just because it's easier to update software. Mm-hmm. But that's pretty much it.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah. Have you ever read about the history of making locks?
No.
There's this guy that made a lock. Well, he sold locks, but he made a lock. And basically gave... a reward to anybody that could pick it.
Mm-hmm.
And it stood for something like 50 years.
Wow.
It's amazing. And his company, I don't know if he was still around, brought it to the World Fair.
Uh-huh.
I don't know which World Fair. And they displayed it there, and people were trying to pick it. And this one guy from America who designed locks also, I think I heard about this in one of the History Extra podcasts from the BBC.
Neat.
But anyway, this guy from America comes over, and he's like, I am going to pick this lock. And he worked at it for something like, I don't know, 37 hours, and finally picked it. And so it had stood all this time.
Wow.
And this guy picked it. But that guy's locks were actually not very good. And so he was asked to put one of his on display. And another guy came and picked that guy's lock in like 3 minutes or something. Ridiculous, right? So the company, the original company, said, well, if it took you 37 hours, took that much time, I think we're standing by our locks. You know, okay, so the record broke and they gave him the money and stuff.
Yeah.
But the guy that picked this one guy's lock, his name was Stanley.
Oh, neat.
And so he became famous, I guess, and he started his lock company.
And we have from Stanley the fame, lock.
And we have Stanley lock still to this day. Yeah. So I thought that was a really cool
connection.
Yeah.
That's nice. Okay. So, Patrick, what did you come up with?
Well, with Isaac going into the medical field, I thought I'd do something more medically related. This was published as a news piece out of AAA Science December 14th. And I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to cover their line of reasoning or whatever. I'm just going to cover four interesting experiments. Mm-hmm. But it all came out of a conference of, from November of the Materials Research Society. So the first one is by this guy, John Rogers. He's at Northwestern University in Illinois. And the background to what he did, which was published, this was, I don't know why there's a connection with the conference. He must have been there, but he did his stuff and published it. Anyway, the background is that people that have trauma, it helps if they have nerves that have been severed. It helps to electrically stimulate them after they've been, those tissues been sutured back together. Mm-hmm. It helps healing. But surgeons give a little bit of electrical stimulation for like an hour or stuff, but they want to close it up. Because it's trauma, right? And they don't want infection. And so that's all the patients get. And I don't, they didn't say if it actually was shown to be helpful, but the thought is probably there's some evidence. So John Rogers took 25 rats. And well, first, he had developed these tiny little devices, mm-hmm. and published stuff about it in 2012 in Science. And they're tiny little devices of unusual materials, and I'm going to save punchline for the end for his out of the four experiments I'm going to cover. And he took the 25 rats and he cut the sciatic nerve to one of the legs.
Oh, wow.
And then he implanted the device. So he sutured everything back up, but implanted the device under the skin.
Mm-hmm. Connected to the nerve, I assume.
Or just around the nerve, because this is kind of gross stimulation, right?
Okay.
Anyway, this is what the device looks like.
Wow,
it looks
huge.
Basically, well, I think it's minuscule, right?
Okay.
This goes in the leg of a rat.
Okay.
It's actually a thin wafer. You can see the plastic, I'm guessing, for some of this.
Got it.
It's got a coil, and it has two electrodes. And I think the coil acts like RFID.
Oh, wow.
So in other words, you put a magnetic field that's alternating outside the body, and it powers this and creates a changing voltage of the two electrodes.
Got it.
That's where the stimulation happens. So one of the cool things about this is, by the way, don't write sentences like this. The stimulation sped nerve healing by about 50% compared to, okay, so I'm thinking speed by 50, healing.
Right.
It's like, you know, either it shortened healing time to 50%. You don't say, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Depending, anyway, so. Okay,
or cut the healing time in half.
Yeah, exactly, right? That would be easier to follow. Anyway, I'm not going to go, because I figured it out in my mind, like, what would speeding rate be if there was 10 of something, there were 10 per day? What
right.
does it mean to speed it up by 50%? That'd make it a rate of 150%. Anyway. So, yeah, that sentence could actually make sense, but really? And I'm sure that's not what they meant. Anyway, so the rats had this implanted. They gave them 1 hour of stimulation for 6 days. And it sped recovery, whatever that means, by 50%. So hopefully it means cut it in half. And that was published in Nature Medicine. Now, here's the cool thing. You saw the device.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it looks like. Now, this is what happens to it over time. It dissolves.
Oh, how cool.
No surgery is needed to remove it. Eventually,
oh, that's so nice.
It just gets excreted. And the rats seem to have no adverse effect and stuff. So, a lot
that's
more
very exciting.
Has to be done, but yeah. And the original research for creating devices out of these materials was done in 2012, but he managed to get it into rats and do this type of experiment, which matches something that happens in real life. Okay, the next two, same guy this time for both of them. His name is Zudong Wang. He's at University of Wisconsin in Madison. And in his case, let me bring this up. No pictures. Some of it was already published, and some of it got reported. So let me see if I can. I'm only going to cover one of them because I can't remember. No?
Okay.
Did I skip one? Anyway, so his devices, they're also miniature devices, and instead of being powered by magnetic field, they're powered by motion. And I guess there's treatment for obesity where they implant a device that stimulates the vagus nerve coming from the colon and the stomach, and it makes the people feel full. But it's got a huge battery, like a, I guess like a pacemaker, I don't know, but it's got a huge battery. So they have to go back in and replace the battery so that you, these people keep having to surgery if once they're on this treatment. So this guy, it's a tiny little thing. The motion powers it. He implanted it again on rats, on the stomach. And the motion of the stomach causes it to stimulate the vagus nerve. And the rats still ate at the same time as regular rats, but they ate less, and so their weight started to drop. And after, I can't remember if it's 38% drop or down to 38%, probably 38% drop, their weight leveled off and just stayed at that new level.
Wow.
The device continuously. So they ate at the same times, but they didn't, they stopped eating earlier every time they started.
Wow, that's really cool.
The last one I am going to cover is it the same guy? Okay, I'm going to drop one of the Wong's experiments because I can't remember off the top of my head. Jacob Robinson, he's at Rice University in Houston. He has even tinier devices. They're the size of rice, a grain of rice. And he's looking at people that have Parkinson's.
Mm-hmm.
And some of these people, they have tremors.
Right.
I mean, I think all of them have tremors.
Mm-hmm.
But you can implant a device that has electrodes that goes to the to under the thalamus, that
mm-hmm.
area. And it stimulates, and the tremors
are stopped. Know that.
And I think that's one of those things, again, where you get, you know, battery replacement is a problem. I can't remember how his thing gets powered, but basically he implanted in rats, and they say here, which is funny, another type of sentence that just is like, really gets me. Implanted in I can't find it, but basically they said rats that have a type of Parkinson's. I think
yeah.
they mean rat models of Parkinson's disease.
Right.
I think they did something to the rats that
anyway,
the rats had these devices implanted, and before they had tremors, and afterwards no more tremors.
No, it's neat. It's neat that you focused on all these devices.
So it's all biotechnology. It's all miniaturization of stuff that we used to put into the body, and usually we had a power problem.
Neat.
And not all of them have this dissolving part, but that's what the future is. That's one future thing in medicine, and it's, I thought it was really cool because, you know, some future stuff you're like, well, yeah, I can see that, but it needs to find an application. It's really cool, but you know, who knows? But there, they're targeting things that are already done to people. So,
yeah,
I thought it was much more likely to be stuff mm-hmm. that's going to show up by the time you yeah. get out of medical school.
Huh.
So this one might not show up in medical school, but I thought I was thinking of more in the medical route too. And this one went cell by cell analysis of gene activity through developmental stages. And what's really cool is they can now track using RNA, a single-celled RNA sequence to figure out what is forming at particular times in development. And they've been doing it with, you know, frog and other animal tissues and that. But, or yeah, the fish, the frog, and they can figure out when organs develop, when appendages are developed, and it, you know, it just goes on.
Is this one of those where they're using these nucleic acid to record the changes?
Right.
And then afterwards they take them out, they take the tissue out and find what nucleic acids are there from
right.
the sequence.
Right. So what they're yeah. doing is they're looking at that single sequence of RNA, and they put a fluorescent tag on it using CRISPR. And so they're able to see what it's marking the early embryonic cells. So with those markers, they're able to figure out what's happening at that particular stage.
Ah, so one.
I hope I'm saying that.
Right, right. You know, one of the things they might be doing right. is then they're actually looking for entire cells.
Right.
And where did these cells come from? So let me see. They know that during development, a certain nucleic acid sequence shows up in the cell, like in RNA.
Mm-hmm.
And they have CRISPR, so it doesn't cut things or anything. It just recognizes when that shows up.
Right.
And then and it's connected to an enzyme that puts a fluorescent marker.
Right.
So if that cell has gone through that developmental sequence, it's marked with the fluorescent tag. Does that
yeah.
sound right?
Right. And then imagine what that will be for, you know, developmental stages and being able to track any, you know, malfunctions that occur.
Right.
Whether it's cancerous or other diseases yeah. that would have, you know, that would light up with that kind of reaction. So it's just really neat. And it's a group that has done the research, and they were actually one of the ones recognized by Science for their breakthrough Science of the Year
cool.
for 2018. Yeah. So I thought that was cool. The other one that I had, and this is very short, it's this group that are researching rats. And they're looking at Rift Valley fever risks in human pregnancies. And apparently in Africa, there's this disease that breaks out among livestock and that in Kenya. And it basically the outbreaks can be transmitted to humans, and they're starting to have them a vector of a mosquito that can
oh.
travel.
Did they
and
say
pass
it was viral?
It is viral.
Okay.
And basically what they've done is usually it's passed to the fetus. So if the mother has it, it passes to the fetus. And they were looking, and what they found is, in this case, if the mother's exposed, it doesn't affect the fetus until later in development, but mm-hmm. most of the time, or in a fair number of those cases, the mother has miscarried the baby. And so they were studying rats, and they have found how the infection travels, and they're like, ooh, this is going to really help for developing early stages recognition mm-hmm. of the disease. and starting the vaccine study for this. So I just thought it was interesting, and it had connections with, you know, how to, you know, they're doing the modeling of it, and they're hoping that modeling will help better understand potential vaccines. Anyway, kind of interesting stuff, but so that's all we have for now.
Cool.
And
time to eat.
Time to eat.